Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just, I couldn't quit.
Now on to the show. On the show today, we have the Foundation's very own Michelle Bonner and Education Employees Credit Union's very own Mike Jones. They're both here talking about the Foundation's Start at Home grant project that explored positive saving behaviors with credit union employees. Really good stuff here from both Michelle and Mike. And Mike actually gave us the credit union perspective of this project as well. So really, really good stuff here from both Mike and Michelle. So I hope you check it out. Welcome back to our show. And on today's program, we have a really cool program to talk about, speaking of. But first, let's do some introductions. Right below us is Michelle Bonner from the Foundation. Michelle, how are you?
I am amazing. Good day to you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. I've never had anybody say, hey, I am amazing. So I like that.
Oh my gosh. Every single day. Yeah, it's good.
All right. Living the dream. We love it. All right. Well, good to have you here, Michelle. And then right next to me is Mr. Mike Jones from Education Employees Credit Union. Mike, how are you, sir?
Wonderful. Life is great.
Good, good. Well, we have amazing and wonderful. We're starting out the program on a high note here. So, and speaking of high note, we're talking about this Start at Home program or report it's a 2 year long grant project that explores positive saving behaviors. And we could all use a little of that these days for sure. So, so Michelle, I want to start with you. Can you give us kind of an overview of the Start at Home program report, however you want to describe it? So love to get to know more about this.
Sure. So the Start at Home is actually a grant project that started in 2020. So if you can imagine, I'm just wrapped up this past year, and really it's just a simple series of interventions where three credit unions, you'll hear from one of them today, just tried to see if they could positively influence savings behaviors, but among who, right? So we know we want to help members, but could we also start at home with employees, right?
So smart.
Everyone's having, you know, a tough time, especially these last few years. And so kind of integrating, what's our mission? Can we help current unions meet their members where they are? But yeah, starting with the employees first and see, can do something so simple and test out the right solutions in the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And we found that that was absolutely the case.
So what started this though? I mean, what was the, because obviously you guys started this in 2020, like in the middle of the pandemic, my gosh. So that's a challenge in itself. But what was the spark that lit this fuse to get this going?
Sure. So quite a few things. As you mentioned, the last few years have been hard. Kind of starting something in the pandemic really wasn't the thought at the time. So being in the middle of the project and realizing what that a simple intervention is really needed was super duper helpful. Having already started out with just an email was really key, but understanding that employees have a lot going on in the day-to-day anytime. Mm-hmm. So how could we make something super simple, but yet get a really great result that could potentially change not only their lives, but the generations to come in regards to simple savings? Inquiring about, hey, can we increase your retirement? What does that look like if people can take that step on their own, but mm-hmm. with a little polite push?
Well, and I don't know if this is the right question, but how does it work? Because Mike is going to tell us from his perspective, because he lived this practically. So one more question for you, Michelle. How does it work, I guess, is the right question, or...
I think that question's appropriate. So again, really simple, but can we have two groups, a group of control and another group where we can test out, well, if we have an email sent to employees to say, would you like to start, you know, a savings, a certain amount, perhaps, or no amount, up to the credit union on their own of how they would craft that email, but in agreement that it would be just an email or a series of those things. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so in regards to how to get the actual results, of course, working with the researchers to ensure that we can, you know, find what we're looking for without having to push for what we're looking for. Will people make the change on their own? Right. And they did.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, all right, Mike, that's a nice segue for you. So you participated in this project. So give us your kind of, your experience, and then why did you participate as well?
Fantastic. We were looking to dive into some of the grants that are out there. We haven't done something like this before, able to do some research, help out the credit union industry as a whole, help out the National Credit Union Foundation. And so it looked like something that was very doable, of kind of a light touch, a light nudge, something that we can do in-house. And it was very interesting. It was interesting dealing with the researchers and the all the analytics that go behind it. So it was a fantastic experience.
Okay. And so can you share with us what that experience was like for your credit union and eventually how it benefited you guys as well?
Sure. So we started off by evaluating or analyzing which employees were splitting their deposits. Okay. And for those that were not splitting their automatic deposit, can we encourage them to split their deposit into the checking account and into an emergency savings account?
Okay.
And for those that did, what was their experience? Were they able to save? Were they able to have money for emergencies? Did an emergency come up?
Yeah.
And what was their whole attitude about financial well-being in the process?
Okay, because I find saving addictive, so in a good way. So because the more I save, it prompts me to save more, because I like seeing it grow. I think a lot of people are probably in the same boat. But so I find this kind of hits a personal note for me, because I always want to find positive saving behaviors, and I just think it's kind of very infectious in a good way when you're doing this type of stuff. So Michelle, can you share with us maybe a couple of key what did you guys discover? And Mike too, actually, this could be a question for you as well. What did you guys discover kind of at the 2 year at the end of this project? What were the discoveries? Because you guys had USC and Duke University kind of involved in this. They helped design it and kind of collected all the data, all that type of stuff. So give us kind of the end result here, if you will, Michelle.
Sure. I'll give you a little taste and pass it back to Mike. So really interesting, and you'll see this in the report, is a coincidence, right? So folks were already splitting their deposit, wonderful, or saving at least a portion of it. But the hope was then to increase it. So some of the goals could have really been just how many people are saving already, how many people were encouraged to save or increase their savings, and then how many were encouraged to split that deposit. So between the three credit unions, and I can share kind of some stats with you as well.
Mike,
go ahead and share yours, but I'll just share from Alabama and Credit Human, who were participants in this credit project, is that the folks who were already receiving a direct deposit were 99 and 100%, which is wonderful. So the folks who ended up splitting their deposit, we had at Alabama Credit Union, 39% of folks, which I think is amazing. And I will note that Ted Coy, who was at supporting from Alabama, noted, if we can get even one person to either split their deposit or increase their deposit, we are making a difference. And so finding that credit human who had already 100% folks already kind of receiving direct deposit, 46% decided to have direct deposits split. So that was wonderful. And then other folks in between had some or another. So those are some of the stats that you'll see in the report, but I'll pass it to Mike for more on education.
Mike?
I believe we had 11 to 13% uptick, if I remember quite exactly. And the challenge is that there are multiple ways that people can already be saving for emergencies. So splitting your paycheck into a direct deposit into your checking account and into an emergency savings is one way. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are already having their paycheck into their checking account and then on their own splitting it from there, which is difficult to monitor. So when we talk about the 11 to 13% uptick, that's in the people that were now splitting their paycheck that weren't splitting their paycheck before. Okay. But there is a large percentage of employees that have told us that they're already saving for emergencies on their own, mm-hmm. that they don't need human resources to do it for them.
But this is a kind of a set it and forget it type of thing, right? Because I mean, next thing you could just be saving $5 or $10 or whatever. But the next thing you know, a year later, you got yourself a nice chunk of change for an emergency or whatever you're saving for. So it really adds up quickly, and it's again a positive thing. So Michelle, I'm going to get back to you on this one. So how do you see something like this benefiting the industry? Because other credit unions obviously can do the same thing, right? So,
absolutely.
And yeah, I'll get your take on that, kind of the benefit message here, if you will.
Sure. So the benefit is it was really low cost to do, which is wonderful on all ends, right? I'll let Mike decide if it was simple, but just sending an email, something we do probably every day, multiple times a day, that could change the trajectory of someone, you know, having an emergency savings or not, or splitting their deposits or not, is wonderful. And of course, it wasn't about the amount that they saved, just really focusing on the behavior, right? What we wanted to focus on was, will people change the behavior, but will they also be able to improve their financial well-being for overall, right? Mm-hmm. And what's wonderful is that they did.
Yeah, and when you have a nice, healthy savings account, you're going to improve your health, your financial wealth, and probably your mental health as well, because you know you have that cushion there for sure. Mike, yeah, I want to tee it up for you as well, get your take on that, kind of the benefits.
Right. Speaking with the researchers, we had a huge discussion about what does success look like in this grant process, because we're saving for emergencies. Well, we can't just look at the bottom line, the balance within somebody's account, because what if they had an emergency? Well, then their account balance is going to go down, but that's the success. But, you know, that's difficult to measure when you're just looking at balances and how much is going in and how much isn't going in.
Right.
So we gathered a lot of stories as well from our employees, and amazing, heartbreaking stories of, you know, what has happened in their life and how they were able to meet those challenges with the emergency money. Mm-hmm. The whole process was actually pretty easy. It really was a gentle nudge. It really was an email. It really was, hey, can you take a survey so that we can see how things are going? And in practice, you know, now that the precedence has been set, you know, a credit union can do more than a gentle nudge if they're wanting to do this with their employees. They wouldn't break out two groups, you know, one that you don't touch and one that you do touch and see the difference. You would just promote it with everybody, and you could do more than just an email. You could do posters and banners and, you know, all sorts of things to encourage your employees to set up an emergency savings account. Mm-hmm. But we were able to show that the gentle nudge itself had a significant enough difference.
I bet. Yeah. That's amazing. The power of email, even still today. So yeah. So Mike, I'm going to stick with you on this one. And Michelle, I'll ask you the same question though, but what did you guys hope to achieve here? What were the goals here from a credit union perspective, Mike? What were you guys hoping to achieve here? And obviously develop good habits, financial habits, that type of stuff. But what was, just from your perspective, what were you guys trying to achieve?
Well, we love our employees, and we want them to be as financially healthy as possible. Mm-hmm. So bottom line is, we wanted to help them in every way that we can. Mm-hmm. And so if we can get them to go in the right direction financially, you know, and everybody thinks, oh, you work in a financial industry, therefore, obviously, you've got all your ducks in a row. Well, we're people in society just like everybody else. And, you know, life gets in the way and things happen. And so all of us in the financial industry, we need nudges as well.
I totally agree with you there, for sure. And Michelle, looking at it from a bigger picture, you know, kind of the 64,000 foot level picture here, what were you guys trying to achieve here and maybe spread this message to other credit unions or the rest of the industry?
Exactly that. Just looking to replicate this process, if at all. But first, we've got to test it, right? The name alone was just testing this to advance financial well-being. So can we do that? Yes, we can. But then can we replicate it across the nation for credit unions who are also interested? And again, keeping it simple. Mm-hmm. And to Mike's point, being able to tweak that to fit the people's or the credit union's, let's say, culture, right? Mm-hmm. Or to suit different times of the year, I think is what some of the researchers mentioned, that there may be benefits to doing this project at one time of year or another. Can we find that? Can we report back to that and share really not only the stories, but the perspectives from the credit unions? I'm thankful to Mike, Ted, and Evelyn, everyone who participated, but to make sure that that was happening, but make it very clear that it can be done with anyone.
Yeah, no doubt. And Mike, one more question for you. What advice would you have for other credit unions looking to do at doing something similar, just based on your experience going through this?
If you're looking at doing a grant project, the people at NCUF, fantastic to deal with. The people at Duke and USC, wonderful. And if you're looking to start a program for your employees to split apart part of their paycheck for emergency savings, it's so worth it. it is so worth it to be able to hear after the fact that people were able to cover expenses for auto breakdowns, mm-hmm. for health emergencies, for, you know, we had employees who had to cover the cost of funerals, families that they lost during COVID. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, they're heartbreaking stories, but they said, we're so thankful that we had a savings account.
Right. Right. And indirectly, doesn't this benefit your members? Because your employees go through this and they have their learning experiences and can probably pass on some wisdom to members as well who might need a little bit of help, right? Is that probably another indirect goal that you guys wanted to achieve, Michelle?
Absolutely. And oftentimes employees are members as well. So whether That's it's true. At the credit union they work at or a different credit union nearby, we're helping members, we're helping employees, really everyone benefits here. Mm-hmm. And of course, the credit union itself, by gaining that trust, not only from the employee, but from the employee to then member.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So another question for Michelle is, are you guys going to do this again? It sounds like such a great project.
I sure hope so. In fact, after the webinar, which we launched in November, we got a few calls of, can we participate? Yeah. When's the next cycle? Yeah. Will this be happening again? And so, to be determined.
Okay. Oh, wow. All right. A little cliffhanger there. All right. We'll wait and see. All right, guys. Last question. Anything else to add to wrap up? Mike, I'll let you go. Any final thoughts on this?
Don't be afraid to dive in. Try it. If you feel that you don't know, you don't have to worry. They're going to help you through the process.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Well said. And Michelle, any final thoughts here?
Sure. I mean, just thank you for this time, because this conversation is really just a taste. I invite mm-hmm. everyone to dig deeper, as Mike said, and just download the full report. Check out the webinar, take a listen, or just learn more about other opportunities like this, whether it's this in the future, this particular grant, or other grants that we'll actually be launching two more this month. So
check out what
we've got going on. Absolutely.
All right. Cool. Yeah, we'll put all those links in the show notes too, so people can get right to it and take a deeper dive than our conversation here today. So thank you so much, guys, for being on and sharing your insights and your experience, and what a great project this is. And I couldn't ask for two of the more positive people I've ever met in my entire life. You guys are perfect. So keep up the good work there, and look forward to another chat down the line. All righty.
Thanks, Mike.
You are welcome. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.
Has there been a point in your journey where you felt like giving up?
Daily, you know, yeah. I mean, but very short-lived. Yeah. I had the curse of you just I couldn't quit.